Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another sweltering day. It is August. Is it? I guess it's the dog days now, right? This is generally the time of year folks refer to as the dog days of August. So
it's felt like the dog days of summer.
And I don't know a dog that particularly loves this kind of weather. Mine sure doesn't.
Do we have a history of dog days?
I don't know. We can look at it. It was a great album by Atlanta Rhythm Section, but no, I can't tell you the history of dog days. It's a cool song too. The title song on the album, I would recommend it.
Who's this artist again?
The Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Ooh, I don't know as much about the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Atlanta Rhythm Section. Here, I'll give you a little tutorial very quickly. It sort of was born from a band called Dennis Yost and the Classics Four, who did "Spooky," "Stormy," "Traces," "Every Day with You, Girl" in the '60s. Those guys had been background musicians for Roy Orbison. Then they did their own stuff. They're Southern-based. They're out of Doraville. Brian Matthews knows who they are very well because one of their earlier hits was Doraville. They made it more popular in the late 70s, early 80s. But, they had cool album art, which was done by an Auburn grad by the name of Mike McCartney. But the band was they're very talented. They used to play...
I've heard Stormy before.
You've heard Spooky.
Okay.
I know you've heard Spooky.
Stormy's a classic Classics 4
yes,
song.
Yes, it is. But anyway, that's way off track. But, that's some interesting, completely different. The music is much more Southern rock, basically, is what it's sort of like.
Wings 94.3 will be your home for Auburn University
and
football.
They'd be your home for Atlanta Rhythm Section
That's right.
As well.
And you can hear some Atlanta Rhythm Section when we're not playing. By the way, Auburn High School football? This Friday night?
That is absolutely right.
On Wings 94.3?
At Hoover.
Tiger Talk? Thursday night?
That is right.
On Wings 94.3, special edition of Tiger Talk?
A special edition over at the Waltos Football Center.
Hosted by?
Our regular Tuesday guest, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham.
That's right. We're going to have Andy in the studio, or no, on the phone. We're going to have Andy later on.
He is on his
hour.
Way to a speaking engagement this evening. He said generally he will stop here in the studio, stop by and join us in the studio because it's on his way home. So most of the time he'll do that, but he will join us by phone at the bottom of this hour.
And then speaking of talking to the media, we found out the players that will speak tomorrow.
Yeah, we've got a nice list of players. There's five or six players, including QB1.
That's right. Peyton Thorne will speak to the Auburn media tomorrow for the first time. I believe for the first time since committing to Auburn. He'll talk to the media as part of the team. The other players that we've got tomorrow include, I'm doing this off the top of my head, Jay Fair, I know. Was on that list. We will also have Nehemiah Pritchett.
Yeah, I've got them all.
Avery Jones, Cam Riley, and Oscar Chapman.
Yep,
will be talking to the media tomorrow noon. Right, is it the?
Some of them will be around noon. Others will finish lifting and be in around 12:30 or so.
Starting at noon, we'll get to talk to some players tomorrow. I will miss tomorrow's show. As I've got a,
you're going to miss the media opportunity.
No, I think I'll be there for the players. I think I'll hang out for the players.
I'm going to try. I've got a dentist appointment at 11, so hopefully I can be there.
I'll tell you what, I can probably. You know what I'll do is I'll be there for the players, and I can make a lot of that available to Drew.
That would be very good.
We've got Jason Caldwell in hour number one tomorrow. Hour number two could be wide open. Maybe folks would want to hear from Peyton Thorne.
Yeah, I would think so.
And the stuff that Peyton Thorne has to say when talking to the Auburn media. Among other guys, Cam Riley, especially in the aftermath of, whatever's going on with Austin Keys and the
especially since he may be get a little work outside at edge as well.
The concern folks may have about the front seven right now and how it's going to hold up over the course of the season, Cam Riley is a really interesting and important part of this Auburn defense at the moment, and we'll talk to him tomorrow as well.
And we've heard really, really good things about Avery Jones. At center, his understanding how quickly he's caught on to the offense. You know, the center's got to be pretty much one of the captains offensively. I mean, he calls the signals for the offensive line. So and then Jay Fair is a guy that has had a great fall, really has. A guy that, a freshman who didn't get much of an opportunity last year and, you know, I think was sort of just, and Jay Fair. When you're talking about receivers, it would be so-and-so and so-and-so and Jay Fair. But it's become Jay Fair competing and, you know, going to see a significant amount of playing time now. I mean, if he's not the starter, he's still going to see significant amount of playing time there at the slot. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Jay Fair, at the moment, at the top of the Bill Cameron depth chart?
Well, I've sort of got he and Javarius Johnson bracketed there at the top of the slot. So I think they're pretty interchangeable.
Could
right
you
there.
Go oars at yeah. all three receiver spots and have like six guys out there? Because I mean,
you could. I think it's right now it's tough for anybody to be an oar with Shane Hooks.
Okay. Who's the number two behind Shane Hooks?
Probably Nick Martin, but Camden Brown being healthy is going to have something to say about that.
Okay, so Camden Brown might be at the same position, and then on the other side you've got
The other side Shorter. Is Amari Kelly, Jair Shorter, yeah. Caleb Burton, who's working outside and yeah. in.
So right now we're thinking it's about, I mean, we said eight.
I yeah,
mean,
I've that, got, that's I where... think that's seven. Who did I leave out?
Did we mention Shorter?
I mentioned
Hooks?
three, and two. No, I mentioned eight.
I think it's eight. Three, yeah. Three, I mean, we didn't mention Coy or Malcolm. Yeah.
No, like, I didn't.
I mean,
right now they haven't been able to be out there enough.
Ten scholarship receivers. We mentioned eight of them, and the other two, Coy and Malcolm, are sort of working their way back
trying to get healthy,
injuries and stuff. Rivaldo, not a receiver.
Well, he is a receiver, but he's a guy that'll line up everywhere. I mean, he is a receiver. He is a receiving, whatever, tight end, H-back, wide receiver. You will see him. He will be on the field an awful lot, whether Auburn's in a 1-2-3 tight end set, a 2-3-4 wide receiver
set. I think there's a chance Rivaldo plays more snaps in the first half than any one receiver. I wonder about that, right? I mean, making
very well
a bold projection early out, you know, from this far out. But, like, I think he could be on the field as much, if not more, than any individual wide receiver on this team. And, you know, I don't know what his passing numbers are going to look like. I don't feel comfortable. Like, if someone asked you, what will player X's, and I know it's weird because we used to do stuff like this, but what will player X's numbers look like in the UMass game for Auburn? It's a hard one to predict because, you know, will they use this game to evaluate a lot of people? Will they empty the bench if they take a comfortable lead? You know, those kind of questions are there against a team where Auburn is such a significant favorite. But at the same time, I don't know, Bill, where do you think – is there a player beyond Rivaldo that you think, okay, we're going to see a lot of him on offense in the first – like, is there somebody that
skill
stands
player?
Out to you? Yeah, skill players. I mean, Jarquez would be an obvious answer.
Damari Alston.
Damari Alston is, he is getting...
Shane Hooks.
Damari Alston is getting rave reviews. He's a guy we're going to talk to Andy about, and the offseason he's had and the way he's turned himself from... I mean, he only got 14 carries last year. And the way he's turned himself from a guy who was not really in the picture for most of his true freshman season.
Well, he was... I mean, let's face it, though. He was number three last year at running back as a true freshman... for a coach that didn't play an awful lot of guys down the line,
right?
Didn't build a lot of depth,
and there are new players on the team at running back: Jeremiah Cobb, Brian Petit. But there's also opportunity opening up with Tank Bigsby having moved on. So yeah, I think Damari Alston is what he looks like, and whether or not he can make good on such positive buzz all off season long is one of the things that that I'm curious about once the season gets going.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Let's see, Auburn last night, right after the show, picked up a commitment from 2025, Edge, and younger brother of Auburn, we talk about who's going to be on the field an awful lot as a freshman on the other side of the ball defensively. That would be Keldrick Faulk. And the commitment last night coming from his younger brother, Ja'Caleb, J.J. Faulk, committing to Auburn last night. Family seems, I mean, just thrilled. See the video where Keldrick showed up?
That's amazing. And their late father, played a big role in their lives. And I believe the commitment was on their late father's birthday. Is that right?
Yes,
he was. One of the reasons
chose. Dad was a big Auburn fan.
One of the reasons he chose that day to commit was because of that. But no, this is a really cool story. And he's class 25.
Of 25. So he is just heading into his junior year at 6'3", 225 with exceptional quickness.
Yeah, if you've got a commitment, you got an offer from an SEC school heading into your junior season. I mean, that's indication you're a promising player at whatever position you play. And so this is Keldrick presumably will be in year three when his younger brother gets here.
Yeah, maybe the last year for.
Could be the last year for Keldrick Faulk. We'll see.
The only opportunity they may get to play together. But, I mean, big things expected from Ja'Caleb Faulk. Big things expected from big brother Keldrick.
So, well, Keldrick's one of those players, and you don't want to get ahead of yourself with a true freshman. But, I mean, people said this about Tank Bigsby, where it was you probably need to play him as much as you can early because you're only going to get so many plays in 3 years out of a player like that. And, yeah, that's how people feel about Keldrick Faulk. And when you're working with the ones as early in your career as Keldrick Faulk was, I mean, that's an indication, too, that maybe that this is a different kind of player.
Yeah, so that's some of the news.
Happy to stay in the bloodline, right?
Oh,
when you got a player like that.
No question about it. We're just getting underway. Hour number one of the drive brought to you, as usual, by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. And you can call us 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to The Drive, go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center or search for The Drive on your favorite podcasting platform. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out. And we will be, we'll continue to upload episodes of the podcast. And that's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Again, Andy Burcham joins us at the bottom of the hour. We'll open the phone lines when we come back. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
Kia of Auburn welcomes you to the dog days of summer.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jason gets us started. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Got a couple of things I want to talk about today. Let's start with Jarquez Hunter. Bill, if I made you tell me what's going to happen game one with Jarquez, what is your prediction?
It seems the way he's practicing that he's going to be out there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not, but
there have been instances in the past where players have participated in front of the media in spring practice or fall practice, and then they've missed the first game.
A portion of the game.
I don't know. I mean, all indications now are that this is behind him and you should expect to see him all systems go in the opener. If that's not the case, I think we will find out when he's not playing in the opener.
Yeah, find out when the starting lineups
not
are announced.
Not a moment before that.
He's been lining up with the ones when we've been out
if
there.
If memory serves, Cam Petway was suspended for the opener in 2017, and it was a secret all offseason, and we found out when Cam Petway wasn't in uniform in the season opener in 2017.
I will say this early on. I mean, I think in the UMass game, If Auburn were not to have the services of Jarquez Hunter, they'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean toward I think he'll play. At worst, he might sit out a half or something. But I think that would almost be Auburn would be made fun of more if we did that than if we just ignored it and let him play. So
yeah, I think either play or don't play in the first game, I think. Yeah, it makes sense.
That's right. And if he's not going to play in the first game, why wouldn't you already announce it? I mean, we're not going to lose to UMass because they know that Darko's
No, that's
the
true.
The risk you run with a light punishment is that then you have to explain, well, what's the discipline for and how do you justify half a game for something like that? It was sort of the similar – it's not similar in the allegations or whatever happened, but when people were saying Brandon Miller should sit during Alabama's basketball season – the one thing I was concerned about was if you suspend him for one game or two games, do you risk trivializing the accusations by saying, well, like it's almost like if you're going to discipline him, do you have to do it indefinitely if you're going to do anything at all? So I don't know. Yeah, in this case, if again, it's a different situation with Jarquez, but yeah, indications are now that I think you'll see him out there. That of course could change.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it happened so long ago works in his favor, and I think I'm leaning toward what you guys are saying. All right, second topic is the comments by Freeze that he's going to play Robbie Ashford. That really hasn't been his MO. He's pretty much stuck with a guy. I think one time in his career he's done that. My concerns would be, just like they've been with Gus Malzahn, God knows everything he did was wrong. If you bring Ashford in first and goal inside the 10 and he gets stuffed on a couple of quarterback draws, what's everybody going to say?
No, you don't want to tip your hand. I think there's you want to avoid predictability. Hugh Freeze has utilized quarterbacks in the past. I think that the 2013 or the 12, the first season with Bo Wallace, his first year at Ole Miss, is the year that
Brunetti
comes, the year where he used Mackey and Brunetti both, even though Bo Wallace took the vast majority of the snaps at quarterback and had way more passing attempts down the stretch than anyone else on the team, but he still found ways to utilize those guys. I'm keeping an open mind about it. I share sort of apprehensions about bringing in a backup quarterback who excels at one thing, which is why.
Yeah.
We've also heard that Robbie's not just excelling at one thing, and if a defense wants to overplay the run when Robbie Ashford is brought in, maybe Robbie Ashford can make them pay for that too.
Yeah, I think the only way it's going to work is if you let him throw some.
Oh,
you can't just bring
Absolutely.
Him in and make him be a runner. Yeah, I agree, and it can be a change of pace and it can be effective, but you got to be. You can't be predictable with what you're going to do with him.
No, I'll tell you, though, it really – when you see Hugh Freeze talking about him, you can see – I mean, he is serious when he says he's the most fantastic athlete he's ever had at quarterback. And I think he's really looking forward to seeing, all right, does this translate to what I think it can on the field? So I think early on we're gonna get an opportunity to see what his plan is.
See, I'm thinking – and we were talking about this off the air the other day – like, maybe you bring Robbie Ashford in and you run some plays that have nothing to do with the fact that Robbie Ashford's a quarterback, because defenses are going to be assuming they're going to be on alert because the backup quarterback's in and it must be a gimmick play or a trick play. It's like, just run a halfback draw, right? Like, bring Robbie Ashford in, just let him hand off to somebody, because defenses will be so concerned about, oh, it's the backup quarterback, something's up. I think part of the way you avoid that predictability is by – if you're going to do it, you bring him in, and sometimes you just run the offense as though it's the first quarterback.
Yep. Should be fun to see, guys. I appreciate the feedback.
Appreciate it, Jason. 334-321-1390. Who do we have up next? Keith is next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, yeah, I was just going, thinking about all the stuff that y'all said and that I've read about what's been going on over there. And, the predictions, and, just the way I see it is, the offense should be an upgrade at pretty much every position and deeper at quarterback, and it all hinges on, chemistry and how the quarterback plays. But, I'm not going to go by position by position, but the line, should be a lot better, and we're deeper at receiver with longer, lengthier receivers and guys with experience, and deep at running back, and I think we're good there. And then, we'll see on the quarterback. But and then, on the defense, starting the from what people say is, the defensive back should be pretty good and one of the better units. And from what I saw from Jeremy Garrett, you know, he's got players on the defensive line, and, you know, I think that he's going to come through. I mean, if he can do what he did at Liberty, I believe he can at least put a presentable product on the field in the SEC with these SEC players. So, you know, it all goes to the linebackers, and that's what has been the shakiest. And our coach, our defensive coach's philosophy and scheme is, you know, is a pretty much predicated on linebacker strong defense. I mean, you know, it's the linebacker's supposed to get a lot of plays and run the defense. And so, you know, who knows, you know, if we don't get the linebacker play, does he change philosophies or does he change his defense? Or
that's a good question. I mean, now the other thing to keep in mind is Austin Keys wasn't out there this past Saturday either, and he's the guy we've heard the most consistent praise when there's been talk about linebackers. So they need to get him back. But you're right. I mean, that's one of the things Ron Roberts talked about. Hey, this is a linebacker-driven defense. And so the linebackers, it's supposed to be funnel things to the linebackers, and they're going to make the plays. So they have to make the plays. You're right.
And the brief thing that I've seen on him on YouTube and stuff, I saw a chalk talk one time with him at one of his previous positions, and it was pretty complicated to me. I mean, it don't have to be that serious to be complicated to me, but, you know, I wasn't picking up what he was saying right off. So, you know, it might take him a little bit to get into this, and thank God we got four out-of-conference games going into it. But the other thing I wanted to briefly say is, you know, I'm not a big NIL fan as far as the way they've done it, you know, and I have softened up my stance on the NIL. It's went better than I thought, and the guys have handled it. That's the main thing. The guys have handled it better than I thought they would. But I'd like to throw out just a thought, you know, is I wish one of these organizations would come up with a three-star or less reward, like a player of the week type thing, because, you know, most of the NIL is going to the 4 and 5 stars and that sort of thing, or the re-signs or whatever. And I'd like to have some motivation and some love to some of these other guys. And, you know, I mean, don't just give somebody one just to give it to them. But if you got somebody out there that doesn't have a big NIL deal, and or whether he does or don't, but and he's a 3-star or so, or maybe a second teamer or whatever, however you do it, and put his name up on a billboard or let one of these companies, you know, sponsor him or something like that each week, and it gives a little motivation and, you know, they got a little more reason to play.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Thus far, things seem to be going pretty well, but there haven't been results on the field from all this. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and it may just be different guys having an idea as what other players are getting or hearing what other guys are getting and wondering, hey, I put up better numbers than that guy did in this game. Why aren't I getting more? I mean, that is a concern for down the road. I just don't know exactly what you do about it.
Right. All right, man. I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Appreciate the call, Keith. 334-321-1390. I tell you what, let's go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll check in with Andy Burcham on the other side as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls here. And yes, as you heard, Auburn High football debuting Friday night. Tigers make the trip up to Hoover. Of course, the day before that, it is the debut of Tiger Talk over on Wings 94.3. And we have now joining us, usually he'll be here in the studio today on his way to a speaking engagement where he's going to load down the vehicle with peaches, I'm sure, before he makes his way back. And that is the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing today?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. And yes, I will be making a stop and getting peaches on my way into Clanton today.
Outstanding. I mean, they are delicious. Yes. That's great. boy, the excitement just, it seems like it continues to build. I mean, there have been a couple of scrimmages. Did you get a chance to check any of the scrimmage Saturday?
I did. I was able to watch the scrimmage. I really can't talk a whole lot about it.
Oh, I understand. It was hot.
Yes, it was.
Goodness.
We were in the booth.
Yeah,
we were
fortunate.
Up in the booth because that's where we're calling the game from. So, and it was interesting to hear Coach Freeze talk about that. He felt the team's been a little flat in both of the scrimmages, but he's talked about how well the team has practiced through the week going in. That was interesting to hear him talk about that. You've seen the catch on social media that Auburn put out of the Shane Hooks one-handed grab on the back of the end zone, and Coach talked about it. Hooks had a good scrimmage for Auburn, and if there was anyone probably that made a move at the wide receiver spot, at least in a scrimmage, number 11 was the guy that did that. Still some guys up front defensively that we did not get a chance to see yet, or at least in the scrimmage. Coach talked about, you know, McLeod and Falk and guys that didn't play there. But I thought all in all, I mean, the kickers kicked well in the scrimmage, and a lot of folks were there. It was part of the donors weekend. And I thought folks, yes, it was hot, Bill. You're right. We're about to go through maybe one of the hottest weeks in Alabama history this week. I looked ahead. I did look ahead to game day, September 2nd, and it may be down to 90 on game day.
I tell you what, that's a break. That sounds crazy, but that is a break from what we're going to experience here over the next few days.
Unbelievable, yeah. That's
downright mild after a after a week like that. So Andy, I thought one of the more interesting developments since we learned about Peyton Thorne taking the starting job at quarterback, startering as I said at the press conference earlier because I couldn't decide on a term, but the move of Isaivian Tuttle Miller into what appears to be the front team. We'd heard some chatter that he'd worked with the starters in the first scrimmage, but when we're out there, it had been overwhelmingly Gunnar Britton at right tackle.
Right.
Now maybe Gunnar Britton getting an extended look at left guard, Isaivian getting a look at right tackle. What can you tell us about the offensive line?
Well, that's interesting to what Coach talked about, and I think the term that he used is they can't keep him off the field, talking about Isaivian, the nickname Tuttle Miller. He was actually a bit shorter than Gunnar Britton, actually. I think maybe an inch shorter at 6'5", and Britton at 6'6", who is a big guard if they move him to that left guard spot. But that is the one spot, it appears, on the line that, you know, we've seen Tate Johnson there. We've seen Jeremiah Wright there. And now we're seeing Gunnar Britton there. And they must feel good enough about Isaivian Miller at that right tackle spot that they can move Gunnar Britton in and take a look at him at left guard for the Tigers. And one thing that doesn't surprise me about this, and Dan, you were there when we got to talk to Tate Johnson a couple weeks ago and talking to Gunnar Britton the day before, is they want this line to be versatile. And they want these guys to play at different spots. And the offensive line coaches, he wants the guys to know all five spots on the offensive line. One, to be able to play there, and two, just to know those assignments. So in one regard, I guess it was a little bit of a surprise. In another regard, I think it goes with the philosophy of what this team wants and what this offensive line wants out of a pretty deep set of offensive linemen, which Auburn did not have a year ago.
And if it is indeed Dylan Wade and Gunnar Britton at tackle to start the year, I think Auburn wants to be prepared if something happens to one of those two guys. And if you only work those two as the first team tackles all offseason, you could be caught off guard if one of them suddenly becomes unavailable. So at the very least, it provides depth at tackle to give Miller those reps, and maybe it's not just depth because he's taking over the starting job and Gunnar Britton's moving to left guard.
I think they want to play the five best guys, and that's where Isaivian, you know, may be. It's just one of the five best that they have.
Well, I'll never forget when Bill and I were doing the show years ago, what Auburn went through at the center spot.
Oh, my.
Year. if you remember that, don't you, Bill?
And, oh, yeah, and it was down to, did we go through, was it six again. Or seven, Andy? It was.
Yeah, it was crazy. You would never expect it to be that way, and you don't want to be in that position again, if you're Auburn or anybody for that matter. So, yeah, when I see these guys moving around, I don't think that's necessarily a negative. I think that's a good thing that this team has some versatility on that offensive line. And listen, we're still a week and a half away from the opener against UMass. I don't think every spot is settled. At this point, they continue to look at where they want the guys to play at this point.
One of the things, and every coach will say this, Coach Freeze has mentioned this two or three times, that he can't be happy after a scrimmage because if one side does well, he worry about the other side. And we've been talking about it the last couple of days. It surely appears that Auburn's going to have a strong running game. They feel very good about their offensive line and their running backs and the tight ends. I mean, everybody blocking, they feel really good about that. On the other side, though, you wonder or you worry a little bit because Auburn struggled. Let's face it, they struggled stopping the run a year ago. But they didn't have everybody out there either Saturday on the defensive front.
I think that's the best way to look at it, Bill. And listen, you and I have done this, and Jan, you've done it. We've done it long enough to know that in a scrimmage, there's always somebody walking away scratching their head a little bit. You never see a coach go, wow, this was a great scrimmage for everybody. Because if the offense plays well, the defense is down, and vice versa at this point. I don't think there's much question that Auburn's running back room is strong with Jarquez and Mari Alston and Batty and Jeremiah Cobb. And so that they feel good about the depth there. They feel good about the depth at tight end. And Rivaldo Fairweather is a guy that doesn't even look like a tight end, but will line up as a tight end, but he can also line up in the slot, and we could see him stretching the top of a defense as well. So Auburn has some versatility. And talking with Ben Angamoa, Auburn's tight ends coach, he talked about three guys that he feels can stretch a defense. Obviously, Fairweather is one. Tyler Fromm is another. In that group, and then you've got guys like Luke Deal that if he's in there, he's going to be in there to block. Although I think Luke wants to be that receiving tight end as well. So those are two rooms on the offensive side of the ball that Auburn feels good about its talent and its depth right now. And there are some questions defensively up front, and I think it's mostly because of the guys that just we haven't seen out there in the scrimmages and the practices leading up to this very first ball game against UMass on September 2nd.
Amid all the turnover from last year to this year, I have been struck by some of the players, some of the holdovers who have made a move offensively. Damari Alston has had so much buzz, second-year player. All three of the second-year receivers sound like guys that you can expect to see early on in Amari Kelly, Camden Brown, and Jay Fair. And you're just talking about the tight ends, Andy. Don't forget the Nebraska kid, right? Micah Riley has also gotten some really positive reviews of late. So, yeah, I mean, it's amid all the new faces, and we'll talk about one of those new players in just a moment. Because this is the first time we've gotten to talk to Andy since Peyton Thorne was officially named the starter. That's
right.
That's how fast things move.
Well, it seems like old news now, doesn't it?
But I mean, yeah, it's been the youth movement and the second year players that have made their move. I'm curious to see who's able to contribute when the season gets started.
Well, and let's add another guy, another returner, and I thought has responded well since the news of Peyton Thorne as QB1. And, that's Robbie Ashford, who, from all indications, has responded well and continues to compete for the number one spot. And the day that Hugh Freeze named Peyton Thorne as the starting quarterback, he also said in the same breath that Robbie Ashford will have packages in ball games. So we're going to see, I think, both of those quarterbacks. And it may be every game that Auburn plays this season because Peyton Thorne's the number one guy. But as we all know, Robbie Ashford has a skill set that no one else has on this team. So, and I like the way that Robbie has competed. And listen, that had to be a blow.
Oh, yes.
Put yourself in that spot when you – you want to be the number one guy, and you were at the end of 1 year, and another guy comes in, and now he's the number one quarterback. You have to deal with that. All indication is Robbie has dealt with that well, as has Holden Garner. So that has pleased me as well, considering it's the new guy that at least going into UMass is going to be that starting quarterback.
Oh, you're right. And that's what and Hugh Freeze said, there'll always be a package for Robbie if he handles
right.
this well. And every
right.
you know, every report has said that he has. The other thing is, we've seen in practice, but folks that have watched the scrimmage have said he just looks more comfortable than he did a year ago. He looks more poised when he is out there. Hugh Freeze has, I mean, he's really done his best to, you know, keep everybody's spirits up there. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how this works. But it was your first chance of seeing Peyton out there. And Coach Freeze said he had a decision or two maybe early that he shouldn't have made, but felt he really played well from that point on. What do you, you know, just what did you see from Peyton Thorne out there on Saturday?
Well, I think he got better as the scrimmage went on, just kind of echoing what Coach Freeze said. And he's also a guy that, and this is not from just the scrimmage, from what I've been out watching practice, Bill, with you and the rest of the beat reporters, that he is a deceptively good runner as well. I think Auburn runs its full RPO package with Peyton Thorne at quarterback, in addition to Robbie Ashford. Now, listen, Robbie Ashford, we know, is a better runner.
Sure.
Don't go to sleep on Peyton Thorne as a quarterback that can run the football as well. So that's one thing. And listen, I mean, we've all heard the stories about he's basically been a pest in a good way for the head coach, and I'm sure for Coach Montgomery as well. Getting to know people in the room or people in the building, learning the offense, learning how the offense runs. Why do you run this at that point? That's what I want to hear from a guy that didn't go through spring ball for the Tigers and is now the number one quarterback for Auburn. All indications are that he has handled things very, very well. Now, how is it when the lights go on or when the sunshine's beaming down at 2:30 on a week from Saturday?
That will feel a little bit different than East Lansing, even if Peyton Thorne has you know ample experience as a big time quarterback. I was thinking, well, a couple of things, Andy. One, I noticed how similar Peyton Thorne's numbers at Michigan State were to Jarrett Stidham's numbers at Auburn. There are a lot of caveats there, but just game to game, throw to throw, like it's pretty remarkable how you know it seemed like they were able to replicate. You know, if Auburn's getting a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham at his best, you know, I think you could see vast improvement from last year to this year. And you know, I just wonder if and you've been around the sport long enough, like you've seen this play out when someone has experience being the quarterback all off season. Peyton Thorne has been a starting quarterback for an entire offseason and had the experience of having, you know, that leadership role. I wonder if that played a significant factor in him being able to come to Auburn and draw on that experience to win over this team.
I have not had a chance to sit down with Peyton Thorne yet and to talk with him and talk about his decision and why leave Michigan State and why Auburn. I'd be fascinated to know that. From Peyton. And we've heard Coach Freeze talk about it a little bit, but I haven't been given that opportunity to talk. Bill, I'm not sure if you've had a chance.
No, we
to
haven't.
Talk with Peyton Thorne yet.
Tomorrow is our first opportunity.
Right. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, just to get to know the guy a little bit better. And, you know, everything we've heard is he's a leader. You want that out of your quarterback, don't you? You know, you want that out of that guy that's leading an offense. And listen, the proof's in the pudding. How will he do against UMass? How will he do in that first road game at Cal? All of those questions are to be answered. But I think he's done everything he's needed to do to this point to be Auburn's starting quarterback going into the 2023 season.
Well, I heard a little because Doug Amos had a chance to talk with Peyton because there are a lot of connections – with the Thorne family and the Lutzenkirchen family. Mike Lutzenkirchen was, I believe, Peyton's grandfather's first varsity quarterback. And the Lutzenkirchen family and the Thorns have been playing for or coaching for or with each other for generations. So I got to give – Philip Marshall has a great column – it's a story today about the connections. So, yeah, this is going to really be interesting when we get a chance to talk to him. But one of the Thorns said, yeah, they've known about and sort of pulled for Auburn from a distance for a long time. So I think it's really a cool story.
Well, it is, and it's a very good story, and I will be reading Philip's story. But there's football in his blood, too.
Oh, yes.
Playing, his grandfather and his father have played and coached at a high level and very successful. So, I mean, this is a coach's kid that's a quarterback for Auburn, much like Bo Nix was. I mean, that was one of the things we all enjoyed about Bo being Auburn's quarterback is the fact that his father had played for Auburn and had coached at the high level on the college and the high school level. So, that, you know, he kind of checks that box as well. I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles all of this, quite frankly, as we move forward.
Yeah, Andy, Before we let you go, I mean, we just sort of stretched this out into a long segment because you're headed up there. It's great. Tiger Talk coming up Thursday. Who can we expect?
We will have John Cohen, Auburn's athletic director, in our first Tiger Talk at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Hugh Freeze will join us right after practice on Thursday. And we're expecting to have a couple of the Auburn players. I don't know players at this point, but a couple of the Auburn players hopefully joining us on Tiger Talk Thursday night. And then a week from Thursday will be our first of the season out of Baumhauer's Victory Grill. That's where we'll be on home weeks out of Baumhauer's. And it's a great atmosphere. We enjoy our dinner there with Tud and all the gang out there. So we look forward to starting things Thursday night with Tiger Talk. And then, of course, a week from Thursday with our first out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill as well.
And, of course, we look forward to having it here on the Auburn Network stations.
Absolutely.
Over on Wings 94.3. Andy, really appreciate it. It's great talking to you every week. Have a safe trip up and back, and maybe save me a peach.
I will save you a peach, Bill. Y'all take care. Have a great day.
All right, Andy, thanks.
Bye, Andy.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us. He'll be in the studio most of the time, but today a speaking engagement up in Clanton.
Can I just say, I miss Barrett, but it's so great. It's so great to get to talk to Andy on a regular basis. And I hope folks are enjoying his time on the show as much as we're enjoying having him back.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. The phone line's back open. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back in. Final minute or so of hour number one. Yeah, we stretched that segment late. Didn't want to take a break in the middle of talking with Andy.
Andy.
Yeah, so
it's great to talk to Andy again.
Absolutely. Again, Tiger Talk debuting Thursday night. And as he said, next Thursday will be the first Tiger Talk from Baumhauer's. Tomorrow, as Andy was saying, and we mentioned this earlier, big day. I mean, we get six players tomorrow, including Peyton Thorne, that we'll get a chance to talk with tomorrow. So we'll have some audio of that for you tomorrow afternoon. And much more. All right, hour number one is done. We got another hour to go, and Jake Crane of Crane and Company joins us at the bottom of hour number two. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us for most of the second half of hour number one. He is on his way to a speaking engagement up in Chilton County. and spent a little time with us. Andy got a chance to watch the scrimmage and just gave us some of his thoughts just on, you know, what the guys look like. I wonder if Andy, I meant to ask and I didn't after he talked about the comments that Hugh Freeze had had about the guys being flat. You know, he talked about this is two straight, both scrimmages. Coach Freeze has not seemed thrilled with the way his team reacted to being over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Now, that being said, how many coaches, like, and Andy pointed this out, how many coaches come out of a scrimmage and go, well, everything's fine. We're ready. Everything's as good as it's going to get. No, we're not going
to
do that.
How has Kirby responded to the scrimmages?
How has Nick Saban ever been?
Yeah, I would think.
No. I mean, yeah, coaches that sound like, boy, they're really happy, they're very few and far between.
Well, but it, in part because when you're coaching every player, if somebody has success, you know, there's the other
then
side.
Somebody didn't.
Yeah, yeah, you got right. the other side of that coin, and so it's as I believe we had a coach earlier in the season. I think this was maybe a crime dog, Bill, who instead of saying the other side of the coin, it was the other side of the pancake. Was the way he said, which I really liked that.
I liked it.
He said, yeah. the other side of the pancake is this. So with Auburn, yes, if the offense is having success, if the running game is productive, mm-hmm. you wonder how much of that, as Hugh Freeze has pointed out a couple times, how much of that is because we have a run game that is positioned to succeed against the teams on the schedule, and how much of that is because there's concern, there's reason for concern with the run defense.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully it's the former.
Oh, especially with and I think there's also the question of what a 100% Auburn defense could look like, right?
Right.
I mean,
Austin Keys, your edge guys.
Reports about Marcus Harris that we were asked about yesterday.
I have not heard that from anybody else.
Yeah, we had a caller ask us about that yesterday, but.
I know a couple of people that were there and they didn't mention that.
I had not heard that either. But you know, but we had the caller ask about it yesterday, so I figured I'd toss it in there too. But
yeah, if we'd had Andy in the studio, I would have asked him.
Yeah,
off the air.
We'll see if we can get something there. But the belief that if Auburn at 100%, you know, if the defensive line has everyone available, like you said, the edge. Although, you know, you wonder how much they plan to utilize McLeod against the run, how
right.
often he'll be out
against,
there.
Against predominantly running teams.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would think that's a situation where Steven Sings could play some more.
Elijah
McAllister as well, you know, both sort of bigger guys. Cam Riley has been talked about as someone mm-hmm. who they feel confident could slide over to edge, especially if they like, I mean, what are the other options at linebacker would look like? Keys, Asante.
Larry Nixon, Eugene Asante.
And Larry Nixon.
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe Wesley Steiner if he can come back.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Woodyard.
Wesley Steiner would lump in with the players
sort
on offense.
Sort of like the receivers who haven't been able to be out there
as much. I mean, right now we're not talking about Wesley Steiner when we talk about the rotation at linebacker, but that's because he hasn't been able to practice with the team and he's been in non-contact uniforms when we're out there. But the belief that Wesley Steiner has been around long enough that if he gets the all clear physically, he could be able to get out there and contribute with the rest of the team.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we talked about the opportunity we have. That will be it until next Monday. I mean, we'll have players tomorrow. We'll get to hear what Coach Freeze and maybe some players have with Andy on Tiger Talk on Thursday. Our next media opportunity will be Coach Freeze's first weekly press conference next Monday at 11 o'clock.
That's right. Monday, game week, next week.
That's great to think, isn't it?
It really is.
We're just a week and a half away from the opener.
Well, no, and especially when you think like we were doing the, it's
100 days.
100 days away, you know, 30 days away, stuff like that. I mean, we are.
It's, you know, the next time you're on the air after today, it'll be less than 10 days.
I believe there are still single game tickets for UMass. I think there's
some games.
I think there's very
limited.
I believe it was at either the volleyball or the, I think it was a soccer game this weekend where there was an announcement that there's still a handful of single game tickets available for Auburn and UMass, the opener. So if you're looking to go to an Auburn game, you know, look into the retailers that would have those tickets. But I expect pretty lively crowd for the opener, the enthusiasm.
I think there are a lot of folks interested and want to be there for the first game of the Hugh Freeze era. I do think that there are an awful lot of fans that are hoping, put this thing away early so we can go cool off.
Or just cloud coverage would be...
That wouldn't be bad.
Would be helpful, too.
Andy,
you know,
talking about looking at the long-range forecast, that the high around... If a high is 90 and the humidity's not, you know, 80, 90%, if by some miracle the humidity could be down around 60% and a high of 90... It'd be hot, but it would be tolerable.
And it's going to get progressively cooler as we work our way through September. But you're right, 2:30 in the opener.
It takes its time.
It does.
You know that.
It does. It's going to be – well, no, it's going to be like watching that sunset on Saturday, right? Like, you know, from kickoff to the end of the game, that thing's going to be taking its time moving down. But the hopefully it's not overwhelming or oppressive for the folks watching.
I do think a lot of folks will want to be there and just see that. I mean, I think a lot of excitement and anticipation. What's the offense going to look like? What's this quarterback going to look like? I mean, how is the defense going to be an attacking style of defense? So there are a lot of things to be very interested and excited about. I'm right there with you. I'm sort of glad that we do have air conditioning in the press box. You know, we complain sometimes about the view, but as long as I tell you what, if the AC didn't work, I would not be in that thing, though.
I think it would be a stampede to the exits.
Golly, man, we'd be on broil.
No, we might as well just stick some pizzas in there with us. And a couple, about an hour later, you know, you could have a snack.
It'd be like, you know, the dogs in the Zippy Mart, you know, just the little hot dogs.
Yeah, just put us in a rotisserie. You might as well do that. But I think it's going to be, and I understand the 2:30 thing is partially for, I mean, not partially, it's largely because ESPN won.
Oh, absolutely,
the
show it
at 2:30, and you know, it's an opportunity for Auburn to debut the Hugh Freeze era on national television. I agree with you, Bill. I think there are a lot of fans hoping this thing can get put away and they can, you know, folks want to stay for the start of the fourth quarter, right? Like they want to be there for the...
We stick around for the whole game. Now, I don't know that everyone will. I mean, with an 17-month-old, I doubt that they'll stay for the whole game.
She may not want to stay for the whole
game.
No. She may decide she's had enough.
Well, I don't blame her. I mean, you know, she's an active little thing.
Not a ton of, I mean, looking at the games this weekend, I mean, you do have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and a top 10 team in USC. They'll be playing on Saturday night. They're a monster favorite, though. I think they're a 30-something point favorite against San Jose State this upcoming Saturday. That's I believe, Notre Dame and USC, the two ranked teams that are in action this Saturday. Notre Dame hosting Navy. Is that game in South Bend, or are they doing some wacky I shouldn't call it wacky, some field trip for that game?
I was thinking it was, but I mean, you're right. They will play it at different neutral sites.
I suspected it, and that game is in fact being played in Dublin.
Okay.
They're taking that one to Ireland. That'll be a cool thing if you're looking for something to watch at 1:30. Notre Dame, a 21-point favorite.
What time is it there?
It's prime time, right? It would be like six hours later.
I was thinking it'd be a little more than that, but I mean, okay, yeah.
I think it's about 6 or 7, so they can start.
I mean, even if it's like an 8:30 start.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an evening start for them there, but they're going to kick it off at 1:30 Central. That game's on NBC. You've got Vanderbilt's on SEC Network. That game's at 6:30. They're hosting Hawaii. The UMass New Mexico State battle is at 6 p.m. That's the ESPN game, actually, if you want to watch two out-of-conference teams on Auburn's schedule square off against each other. New Mexico State, a 7-point favorite against UMass in that matchup. And that's a lot of travel for UMass, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
New Mexico State this Saturday and
just make a big triangle. What a big triangle.
Do you go
that is.
Home? Do you think they even go home?
I don't know.
You go home for a day? You're on the. I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean,
maybe you're back Sunday.
You fly back Sunday.
Yeah, they fly back Sunday,
and then you don't fly.
If they weren't traveling by plane,
fly south.
If they weren't traveling by plane, they would not go home. But I think you're right. I think in this case, they can go ahead and fly back to, fly back Sunday morning or Saturday night.
Unless they wanted to bus from New Mexico. Don't think so.
Where is that school? Truth or Consequences? Where is Las Cruces?
Yes.
Truth or Consequences, though, a real town.
Yeah, it is.
In New Mexico. Look that one up, kids.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to it. And Brett gets us started this hour. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Have y'all heard how that Baker Mazzara guy is doing for Auburn basketball?
I've heard they really, really like his athleticism. That, he's a guy that I feel like they like both his athleticism and his scoring ability.
Yeah, Chad Baker Mazzara is, I mean, he's such a unique prospect because you usually don't have guys who have been to multiple schools before they arrive at the junior college level. But with Baker Mazzara, he'd already played at Duquesne. He was the best player for San Diego State in their final tournament game, that he played, a year and a half ago. This, I mean, he's got more NCAA tournament experience than a lot of the players on the team, especially the new arrivals, because he was in the NCAA tournament at San Diego State, and he was a big time scorer at the junior college level. I think this is a guy where, it's elements. He's replacing some of what Auburn lost with Alan Flanagan, maybe not as intense defensively. Might have a little bit more of a game from distance.
I didn't realize this, but I looked. He played 12 minutes a game in 21-22 for San Diego State.
Yeah, he was their sixth guy, I believe. Yeah,
he averaged 6 points in those 12 minutes, 39% from three, and over 80% from the line. So is it him and Cheney Johnson battling for the small forward start position, or?
I would think so. I mean, depending on, because it doesn't sound like Jalen's working as a three much. They're focusing Jalen.
Jalen's your four. Janai's your five.
And
Denver Jones showed yesterday he can shoot.
Brett, have you seen the Denver Jones video?
Yeah, I did. I saw that, and I saw the Cheney Johnson maxing out on the vertical leap deal.
Yep.
I've seen other video on Denver Jones. Yeah, he's got not just a good shot because a lot of shots go in, on a highlight, but he's got good form on his shot, which we've had some players who haven't had that in the past.
Yeah, it's the difference between, like, when you're watching a pitcher, the difference between a guy who seems like he really has to work hard to throw it, 95, a really efforted delivery, and a guy who's just sort of doing it easily. Denver Jones shot is, I mean, he's
smooth.
It seems effortless. I know it's not, because you're up close with basketball players. Nothing's effortless, but it seems effortless. That's how good it is.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brett. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Right back with more of your calls here on the Tuesday Drive.
Inspired by the Bold Bison, Southern Union
Student.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. And let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre. Spectre, you with us? Oh, there we go. Let's push the right. There we go. Should have you now, Spectre. You got us?
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. I've got a comment about what Andy said, and then I have a question, Dan. So don't hang up on me, okay? Listen, I've often wondered.
Don't push your luck, Spectre.
Okay. I often wondered this myself, and Andy brought it up. You got a quarterback in Thorne that's a two-time captain and had a great 2021 year, you know, so-so 22, and he jumps into the portal, and I'd like to know why, and then why pick Auburn on a pick Auburn, a team that's basically rebuilding, and I'm trying to say, well, okay, he's going to pick a team that's going to advance his skill levels and go to the NFL, but my goodness, if you jump into the portal and get on a team that's basically rebuilding and question marks everywhere, so that's the comment. And let me hear your response on that, then I'll get to the question.
All right. Well, again, I can refer back, and again, a great story today by Philip Marshall at Auburn Undercover sort of points out why he would do that. But I can tell you a couple of reasons. One is, I think as a two-year starter and captain, you can sort of see in Peyton Thorne, we've talked about this, a similarity to the way Bo Nix sort of felt. Like, you know, when you've been a two-year captain and a two-year starter, you feel like you've sort of earned your position. Michigan State struggled last year and said the job was up for grabs. And, you know, you're a guy that's been there. You're coming into your senior year, even though you've got a couple of years of eligibility left. You're going, well, what more do I have to do to prove to this coach? So you might want to test the waters. And I think that is something that Peyton Thorne did. But in Phillip's story today, he points out something I mentioned a while ago, and that is the relationship that the Thorne family has had with the Lutzenkirchen family. Philip Lutzenkirchen's dad was a quarterback for Peyton Thorne's, I believe his grandfather. It's either his father or grandfather, but I think it was his grandfather. And then both Peyton's father and grandfather went on to college coaching. Philip points out that Philip Lutzenkirchen's uncle was a year behind Peyton's dad in high school and became the athletic director at that high school where he was a head coach. So, I mean, there are very close ties there. The other thing is, I think you have to give a ton of credit to Hugh Freeze in selling Peyton Thorne on the opportunity to come into the SEC and start a legacy here at the beginning of the Freeze tenure as head coach.
There's two different questions there, Spector. So the question of why would Peyton Thorne leave Michigan State, I mean, without knowing more intimate details of what was going on behind the scenes, it would seem like Peyton Thorne thought it was sort of trending in the wrong direction. He had an injury-plagued season where the team really struggled last year, and despite being the starting quarterback for two straight seasons, he was sharing reps with two other players during spring practice. And so I think he wondered, you know, again, I'm speculating.
We can ask him tomorrow.
We can, but it's, I would wonder, is this a guy who thinks if this season starts off and Michigan State struggles, will they pull the plug on the senior quarterback and start a rebuilding, start to rebuild with one of the younger options? Could Peyton Thorne be scapegoated for Michigan State's struggles if he stays and plays the 2023 season there, rather than getting a fresh start somewhere else at a school that would be thrilled to have an experienced starting quarterback step in and help kickstart the rebuild?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Freeze being a hell of a recruiter.
I think you can't discount that.
I played a role in it too, but as for why Peyton Thorne would want to leave, I mean, it's been sort of a tumultuous, you know, the last few months there, it didn't seem harmonious from the outside. It seemed like, you know, they could be headed for divorce.
Okay. I'll get to my question now. I haven't talked to you guys about the scrimmage. I saw the press conference and all. Now, the question never came up. Did Robbie play his two touchdowns? Were they against the ones?
One person that I spoke to said one came against the backups, the other came against a mixture of the ones and twos.
And Thorne's came against the ones?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that catch by Hooks in the end zone, who threw that pass?
No, that was Peyton.
Peyton?
Mm-hmm.
So if Hooks would have been an inch smaller, he would have missed that one.
Right. But if you're a quarterback, you also throw it where nobody can make that catch except the receiver. You've got, but you're counting on it. I'll say this. We didn't get a chance to. I wondered if Andy has had a chance to meet Hollywood, Shane Hooks, because he has ridiculously large hands. I mean, he has the hands of a guy that you would expect on a, you know, from a 7-foot basketball player. So, I mean, he's going to be fun to watch. And you're going to throw the ball up there, and it's going to look – there are going to be a few times you'll think, that ball's overthrown, and he's going to go up and catch it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390.
And as for why Peyton Thorne would want to go to a team that's rebuilding, per se, I mean, I think you go back to – when did Peyton Thorne go into the portal? End of April?
It was late, yes.
I wonder how many teams in major conference college football had more talent around the quarterback position and a more wide-open situation at quarterback than Auburn did at the end of April, beginning of May. Right, I mean, there are probably a few, but you know, Peyton Thorne picked Auburn for a reason, and this is a guy who, you know, I think Peyton Thorne was looking for playing time and a chance to be a
opportunity
leader,
opportunity, and hopefully some guys around him that could help him.
And I think he has a career when you've started 20 plus games as a quarterback at the Power 5, Big 10, SEC level.
Mm-hmm.
Got to stop saying Power Five, like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not,
well, it is one more year.
I got to phase down.
Yep.
Saying Power Five, but when you've got that kind of experience level, like I think teams know what they're getting for the most part in somebody like that. Like they or at least know to an extent.
You've got better film than you're going to have on a lot of guys.
Sure.
You're seeing him against Ohio State. See him against Michigan. You're getting to see that, where with a lot of other guys, you're trying to go, well, how would this translate, you know, in this league?
Yeah, and so I think Peyton Thorne was I'm guessing, you know, getting back to Hugh Freeze being a recruiter, I'm guessing Hugh Freeze sold Peyton Thorne on the idea that he could, if he did everything right over the months leading to the season, he could have a chance to lead this team and be part of the new era of Auburn football.
Yeah, and again, we'll have a chance to talk with him tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll get some of those questions. You know, what prompted you to leave? Why did you decide on Auburn? We'll probably get some of the things we've been talking about here today. We'll get some of the reasons for leaving. We'll get some of the reasons for coming to Auburn. I'd say you absolutely can't discount the connections that family has had with Auburn. One of the quotes that Philip Marshall has from Peyton Thorne's dad, Jeff Thorne, said, "We've heard about Auburn for years. We've cheered for Auburn from a distance for a long time. When this opportunity presented itself, it was really exciting for Peyton and our family." You can't discount that either. Man, if there's a place that's like, oh, you know some of the people that went there, you have relationships with some people that were there, and then that school comes calling, you got to pay attention.
I mean, I think it would have been tough if Auburn had a great situation already at quarterback.
Yeah.
I think Peyton, you know, all that would have been tough for, you know, but he might have, you know, he's still got
a. Sure, if Auburn had a returning, you know, all conference or proven starting quarterback, it would have been, that's nice. I've always followed that school, but.
But, you know, these folks over here need a quarterback. So I think there's a variety of reasons, but a lot of it comes down to opportunity and the mm-hmm. belief that you can sort of do this. I know we're taking a break shortly. We got Jake Crane on the other side of this.
So.
The Richie Chaney news, the young man I played in the NCAA tournament against Auburn for Houston this past year, played multiple games against Auburn when he was at Arkansas. He was the American Athletic Conference sixth man of the year this past season, passing away at the age of 23. He was set to go play professional basketball in Greece, and just a sad story, and a lot of folks remembering Reggie Chaney on social media. I mean, this offseason for Arkansas, Bill, I mean, we didn't even mention Alex Collins, I don't think, who passed away.
No, you're right.
The running back who played multiple years for Arkansas and passed away suddenly. I mean, Ryan Mallett back in, you know, over the earlier in the summer, there was the Ryan Mallett
trial. Oh, drowning.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett back in the on the Florida Panhandle. So just a really sad last couple of weeks for Arkansas athletics as some prominent former Razorbacks passing away at very young ages. So yeah, all the best to folks impacted by the very sad news about Reggie Chaney.
Yeah, just terrible news. As you said, we've got to get to the bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us when we come back, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 27 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in our regular Tuesday guest from Crane & Company, and that is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing, my man?
Oh, man, it's game week. The sun's shining brighter. The air's a little bit sweeter. The birds are happier. It's just a great situation.
What is the plan? How should people approach this Saturday? What do they got to be watching for?
Well, you know, look, I mean, just having college football back in general is huge. There, and again, I hate the term week zero. I don't want to get into that. I feel like I talk about that every time I come on here.
Yeah, we do a
but
lot, too.
How about
appetizer week?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fine. Just don't call it week zero. It just makes no sense. I will say this. You know, I think the UTEP at Jacksonville State game is going to be really interesting. It's a good opportunity for Jacksonville State, who, you know, right now it's even money when you look at it, to notch what wouldn't be a huge win, but anytime you play against a team that's up a level that you feel like you can compete with, it's a big opportunity at home. Then you look at a game like Ohio at San Diego State. Ohio's going to be a very interesting team in the MAC this year. San Diego State debuting their new stadium. But I will say this, to anybody out there who bets on college football, do not forget that the clock rules are different this year in college. The first down does not stop the clock unless it's under 2 minutes. So when you're looking at a game like Navy and Notre Dame, and I don't know, the over-under is 50.5, realize that every first down that Navy gets, they're going to bleed that clock even more and even more and even more. It could take 7 to 8 minutes off of the game. But, you know, I'm interested to see Vandy at home against Hawaii. I'm shocked that spread's at 17 on DraftKings. But, man, listen, I don't care who's playing who. It's college football. It counts. So it's a good appetizer week, to quote this guy I know named Dan Peck.
Hey, thanks, Jake. No, I thought you were going to say, remember, everybody, if you lose your parlay, don't go on social media and blame some kid and write terrible things to him.
Yeah, unless they're at Iowa State or Iowa.
Because apparently, yeah, they might have been in on it. But apparently, like, that's becoming a growing problem around college athletics is you know, folks, even apparently on the golf course. Right, I'm hearing these stories about golfers getting harassed over $3 parlays. So it's if you're not first,
business is business. It's NIL season now, man. All's fair in love and war.
Yeah, as a character on The Simpsons said one time, gambling is one of the finest things you can do if you're good at it. So
for sure,
and you know, Notre Dame on Saturday. I mean, we've got there's a big time star quarterback playing Saturday night, reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Caleb Williams, Sam Hartman, maybe the most impactful transfer of the entire offseason. I mean, this is a superstar coming in to play for Notre Dame.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, when you look at Notre Dame and their schedule, you know, we tease Notre Dame about their schedule some years, but they go to NC State, they get Ohio State at home, they go to a good Duke team, to a Louisville team that I think is going to improve. They get USC at home, they go to Clemson. I mean, it's going to be an absolute fistfight all year. And Sam Hartman, to me, I think he was the best transfer portal quarterback out there. And I'm very interested to see how he operates, and I think his game's going to translate. Now that he's out of that slow mesh RPO system that Dave Clawson and them run at Wake Forest, I think Sam Hartman's a guy that's going to have a chance to do some damage in the league as well. I love his accuracy, and people point to the turnovers. Well, when he was at Wake Forest, he had to score 40 points to win a game. So, I mean, you have to take chances now, or when you were at Wake Forest, to be able to try and win the game that he's not going to have to take with the defense he has under Marcus Freeman and more athletes up front, I think they'll have an even better run game than Wake Forest had. So it's going to be interesting to watch Sam, and then obviously Caleb Williams, which that should be just, you know, an absolute beatdown against San Jose State at home. And look, I think you got an interesting quarterback in O'Rourke at Ohio, whose brother's doing some damage in the NFL right now during the preseason for the Jags, I believe. He's an interesting player to watch too. So there's a lot of good storylines, even though the games from a, you know, primetime standpoint may not be the most delicious looking.
Well, it's just football. I mean, that's the thing. It's a chance to
watch. That's exactly right.
Chance to watch it this weekend as we get ready for the rest of the SEC next week. And we'll get to Auburn here in just a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a huge shock, but it was announced, you know, that Peyton Thorne is the starting quarterback. Meanwhile, in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban saying, well, you know, his quarterback's through. They completed some, you know. What do you take of the – what do you make of the quarterback battle there in Tuscaloosa? Is it a bit of a surprise, or is this just Nick being Nick?
Well, look, I don't think Nick Saban was going to come out unless he was going to name a guy and just absolutely, you know, talk down or talk up somebody. I think it's a true battle right now, and I don't know if that's a good thing. You look at the personnel they have. If Tyler Buchner was going to win it, I think he'd already won it by now. Jalen Milroe, I don't know if he fits that bully ball, 12 personnel, pro style, run the pass, play action style system that they're going back to with Tommy Reese. I've heard a lot of good things about the Dylan Lonergan kid, the freshman they have, but are you really willing to throw a true – Nick Saban doesn't really throw a lot of true freshmen out there at quarterback when it comes down to it. And you got Ty Simpson, a guy that's kind of waited in the wings. I've continued to say this, and you know me. I was in it. I take the bias out of it. There's a lot more questions at Alabama this year from a just wholesome standpoint. You're breaking in a new quarterback regardless of how you do it. It's not like Tyler Buchner has a well full of experience at Notre Dame, and it wasn't a great experience. You mix that with having to start either a true freshman offensive tackle at left tackle or another young guy who you're moving from one side to the other. You're totally changing not only the scheme, but the identity of your offense. You have two new coordinators. You lost your two leaders, Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr. I mean, I'm looking at the spectrum on result from Alabama to me is anywhere from 9-3 to 12-0. Would you really be shocked with either? But right now, you want to name a quarterback as fast as possible because you want to have that voice in the huddle and everybody knows, hey, this is the guy. This is the guy we're rallying around. The longer this thing plays out, the more nervous I would be if I was an Alabama fan.
It's a testament to how good they've been and the talent.
Oh, yeah.
And the talent they've collected, because you didn't even mention Jahmyr Gibbs. And, like, to me, a team replacing Jahmyr Gibbs would have a big question on their hands after the season he just had. And way down the line of things Alabama has to worry about. And granted, they seem equipped to take care of this. They got to find a way to replace a running back who was a huge part of their offense last year and played his way into the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and look, Jahmyr, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Lions use them. Alabama's got some really talented young backs. The Justice Haynes kid, I think, is going to be really special. I'm not as worried about Alabama's running backs as I am that offensive line being able to execute the way you have to be able to run this style system. Alabama doesn't have a monopoly on offensive and defensive linemen anymore in college football. That's how they were able to build this dynasty up. So you're going to try and – Georgia has that right now, right? I would say Michigan – has that right now. Michigan has seven guys on the offensive line that could get drafted this year. So teams have caught up, and if you're going to go back to this, hey, we're just going to be better than you up front and be safe around it, that's not an easy switch to flip when you've been playing kind of an RPO style, you know, multiple plays, let the quarterback move around, not be afraid to pitch backwards a lot system that they've been running in the past. Excuse me. So I tell you, man, that there's a lot of question marks, and from what I'm hearing at practice, the wide receivers haven't exactly lit it up either. So it's going to be interesting week two when Texas comes to town.
SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Who you got? Maybe two or three candidates. If there's one you feel like at the moment is ahead of the pack, what do you think that looks like?
I'll give you a couple. I obviously think Jaden Daniels at LSU with what they have returning. With the growth he showed last year halfway through the season, really starting to use that deep third, He doesn't look nervous about turning the ball over anymore. They returned 4 to 5 offensive linemen, including both their tackles. I love them getting the Logan Diggs kid from Notre Dame at running back, even though Estime at Notre Dame is still a monster there. And then out wide, you look at Malik Nabers. They got a really good tight end who's gotten older in Mason Taylor. So I think Jaden Daniels has got to watch out for. And then Brock Bowers. I know Carson Beck's the sneaky pick because all he has to do is sit down in the Ferrari and drive the speed limit. No, that's not a Georgia joke. That's just the truth. But Brock Bowers, man, the only thing that gives me hang up a little bit on Brock Bowers is now they have so many weapons around him, bringing in Dominic Lovett, bringing in Ra-Ra Thomas. Teams are going to try and take Brock Bowers away, and when you double him, it leaves somebody else open. So Ladd McConkey out there doing his thing. So I would say Jaden Daniels. I'd still have to say Brock Bowers. You know, looking around the rest of the league, Joe Milton's got to prove it to me. I got to see him be able to throw the changeup. I love how everybody acts like he all of a sudden he's fixed because he can throw the ball really far, like he hasn't always been able to do that. But really, outside of that, man, outside of LSU and Alabama and then looking over at Georgia, there's not really anybody that jumps out to me. I think Devin Leary may be a sneaky pick because they got Liam Cohen back.
I got a name potentially.
Go ahead.
How about Quinshon?
Go ahead.
How about Quinshon Judkins?
Yeah, I just think teams, the book's out on him now. Like last year, you know, he kind of snuck up on everybody, and not saying he's not going to have a good year, but if Dan Peck's the defensive coordinator right now, we're playing Ole Miss, who's the one guy you're taking away?
It's not
any of the receivers that while they're I'm not saying they're bad at receiver, people are going to load up to stop the run, and Jackson Dart, who I think is going to win the job, can't see past intermediate passing game linebackers or nickels. So I don't think that's crazy to think that, but I know teams are going to make Ole Miss dribble with their left.
And I was so impressed. I mean, not just the careers they've had and the season they had last year, but both at Media Days. You were there too, Jake. KJ yeah. Jefferson and Rocket Sanders look like the bad guys from Space Jam, right? I mean, these guys are enormous.
Oh, the Monstars,
Arkansas has,
I mean, Rocket Sanders, 235 pounds, running legit 4.4.
Arkansas, like, they got two Monstars in the backfield, and maybe one of those guys could have the kind of season that it takes to get in this conversation.
Yeah, it's going to come down to up front with Arkansas. And look, I know it's kind of weird to talk about a Sam Pittman coach team maybe a little bit questionable up front, but if they're able to move people and they're KJ's able to stay healthy, what I'm more interested in is them bringing in Dan Enos, who was at Maryland. They're going back to a little bit more bully ball style, but I don't think KJ is going to run as much as from a design standpoint because he can't make it through a season. I think if they're able to use Rocket the right way, they're able to use that. Losing Knox hurts a lot. Trey Knox, the guy that was really big for them as a security blanket at tight end. But if the players around them play well, do not be shocked if Arkansas beats some teams they're not supposed to, and we're looking at KJ as a possible player of the year candidate.
Talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Company here on the Tuesday Drive. Meanwhile, at Auburn, as I mentioned, Peyton Thorne named the starting quarterback. Not a big surprise to a lot of folks. One thing that I think a lot of folks are still struggling with. Did we lose him? Uh-oh. We will tell you what we'll do. Let's go ahead and get to break. That may be him calling back. I was going to say, if we'd lost him there for a little bit, we'll see if that is Jake. Yeah. Jake. Not liking my question there. No, we sorry.
This press conference is over. I think.
Yeah, that's
Jake
it.
Said
that was one of those. No, that's enough. Enough yeah. of that. No, I was just saying one of the things that a lot of Auburn fans are hoping, but they're having a hard time really going, yeah, this is going to be a good offensive line. I mean, we'll find out. But that is one thing the coaches and players really seem excited. And we're going to get a chance to talk with Peyton and Avery Jones, among other players, tomorrow about the offensive line, but they really seem excited about this. The move last week of Tutal Izavian Miller to tackle and Gunnar Britton to the left guard. I like what I've seen thus far of the offensive line.
Look, I mean, it can't get much worse than what it's been in the past. I mean, it's crazy to think Auburn hasn't had a legitimate offensive line in a while when that's what the program was built on. But I do think that confidence isn't manufactured. I don't think it's fabricated. I really do believe this offense. You look at experience, right? Now, are these guys coming from Texas and Alabama and Georgia? No. But when you go back and watch the tape, they have held their own against the top competition that they've played in non-conference. I think they've gelled well together. I think this offense fits the system-wise, kind of takes a little bit of pressure off them when you look at kind of the zone run scheme and taking advantage of the perimeter, and there's not too much base blocking that goes on. But when you just look at them, Auburn's offensive line looks like what an SEC West offensive line should look like. I think people should take a lot of solace in Gunner being moved inside. You typically, you know, if you're worried, you do the opposite. Guys have to start kicking outside. But when you're kicking guys inside, that means good things that are happening outside of the injury front. So I think this Auburn offensive line, I mean, I think Auburn fans are going to be able to breathe a little easier on third and two than they have been in a long time.
Yeah, right now they just they need to do what some teams haven't been able to do, and that's avoid the big injury bug. They've had a few guys out, but, boy, you look around and, you know, a lot of teams are heading into the season without a primary part or more.
Yeah, I mean, just look at South Carolina, who lost their stud left tackle during the spring. I mean, you don't even want to talk about it, right?
No, you're like, right.
You don't even want to put it out there. Hey, let's go. And a lot of times injuries happen when guys either aren't going full speed or it's a freak thing. So you're getting to the point now where you're still going to be physical on some days. You can't lose that. But you're in game planning mode. Now it's about taking care of guys, making sure everybody understands what's going on, getting ready for the prep, getting ready for game week. So you've kind of made it through the storm. You just don't need any freak thing to happen, right? Everybody just make sure you put your socks on the same way. Whatever superstition you have, keep doing it. Eat three square meals and be a good person.
Jake Crane of Crane & Company with us as he is on Tuesday afternoons. Jake, let everybody know, what have you got coming up on Crane & Company, and remind folks how to get it?
Yeah, well, number one, we're really close to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, just obviously go to YouTube. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We go live each weekday morning. It's prediction week. We did our ACC predictions Monday. Big 12 predictions today. We're doing, Pac-12 tomorrow, Big 10 Thursday, and then SEC Friday. I'm looking at Auburn's schedule, doing the science and the math, putting it together. But come hang out with us. We're live on Twitter, X, whatever it's called this week, 6:30 a.m. Central to 8 a.m. Central. We do live calls, have a live chat. If you like talking ball, come hang out with us.
Great stuff as always, Jake. Thanks, man. Have a great week.
Y'all be good.
See you, Jake.
Jake Crane, again, every Tuesday in the around the 5:30 mark. We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a 534-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment here on this Tuesday, and let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to make a couple comments, but you guys were talking about starting quarterback from Michigan State and the connection with Auburn and everything, and it reminded me of something when I was in the Air Force. Had a friend who was actually from Michigan, and growing up an Auburn fan, you know, always pulling for Auburn. It's like, you know, I'd kind of like to have a secondary team, you know, to pull for. And I always liked, you know, Michigan State's colors, the green and the white, and, you know, the logos and all that
Spartan
stuff.
Spartan is cool. Yeah.
They were sort of, I guess, the Cal College of Michigan.
They
you
were.
Know, it was always, you know, kind of like we are. So, and, she brought me back a sweatshirt, just a regular green sweatshirt with the white block letters, Michigan State. I loved it, and somehow I lost it. But anyway, so I thought that was kind of cool that there was that the quarterback's family, would pull for Auburn, you know, while their son, you know, was pulling for or was playing for Michigan State. And this is for you, Dan, you know, since your father and your brother are in the Air Force, I signed the dotted line 35 years ago today.
Hey, the Air Force. Congratulations, Mitch.
Well, thanks. I wish I was still in, but yeah, it was a big day for me.
When
I did that.
Usually if you're still in after 35 years, you've got an office at the Pentagon, right? Like usually that's how it works after 35 years or so.
Being enlisted, your father, the general officers, the more rank you make as an officer, the longer you can stay in. But like, well, an enlisted guy, I think the max you can stay in is like 33 years as an E-9, but you usually have to get a waiver after 30 years. So, and they don't grant too many of those. So, But anyway, I enjoyed all of it and everything. But yeah, just wanted to bring that the whole Auburn Michigan State thing up because I just thought it was kind of ironic because I've pulled for Michigan State in other sports, you know, just to be different because I've always been an Auburn fan and grew up in Auburn in a college town, so I picked Michigan State. But that's all I got, guys. War Eagle.
Good stuff, Mitch. Appreciate it. We are out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Our thanks to Jake Crane, Crane & Company, joining us this hour. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, being on with us in hour number one. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast.
That's right. Podcast of the Drive, available on ESPNAU.com in the Podcast Center, or just go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Now, tomorrow, Dan will be on the road
going
on assignment because you got credentials.
I have been credentialed.
He's on assignment.
AEW Dynamite live tomorrow from the Gas South Arena in Duluth, Georgia. I'll be there.
Hope you guys make it back, make it there and back safely. We'll be here, though, tomorrow. Jason Caldwell joins me at the start. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.